what would it take for you to register to become an organ donor? If it was as easy as ticking a box on a driver's licence form, one in five Australians who are currently not registered to donate would. That's according to new research released today by the federal government. South Australia is the only state that has maintained donor registration through driver licences and has the highest donor registration rate in the country. So some of you may think in other parts of the state that you're still an organ donor and you may not be registered. Today, at the start of Donate Life Week, the federal government is urging other states and territories to follow South Australia's lead as at least 2,000 Australians wait on organ transplant lists. Rebecca White is the Assistant Minister for Health and Ageing. She joined me earlier. Minister, what does this latest research, where has it come from and what does it tell us about organ donations in Australia?
What it tells us is that a lot of Australians want to register as organ donors, but since we've moved away from driver's licences, a lot of people, I think, have assumed they're still registered that way, but have found they're not. So this recent YouGov poll, which was done just this month, shows that one in five Australians who are not currently registered as organ donors, around 2.5 million people, would register if they could do so while applying for renewing their driver's licence. So it's pretty compelling evidence for why we want to move back to that.
So if people ticked the box on their driver's license years ago, they're not now registered as donors?
No, and I think that comes as a surprise to a lot of people. I'm Tasmanian, and that was certainly a process we had here. What is required now is people do need to register at the Donate Life website or through Medicare. The only state in Australia where you are still registering through a driver's licence is South Australia. So it is important that people double check to see if they are still registered as an organ donor.
How do people check?
They can either jump online to their Medicare app and have a look there, or the Donate Life website, which is pretty easy to find, or just check through their Medicare app.
So is this evidence that the National Register for Organ Donors has failed?
I think it's telling us that a lot of Australians didn't understand the change as it happened and the fact that they needed to register through a different way. There'd been a lot of people who just assumed it would transfer the information. I know certainly here in Tasmania, I have a lot of conversations with people who simply think that they are already registered because they registered once upon a time on their driver's licence. And this is why in May, all health ministers committed to exploring how we can support driver's licence registration again. So we are progressing discussions with Services Australia about how we would connect the Australian Organ Donor Register to state and territory systems. There is an expense to that, and the reason it changed in the first place was because of data privacy. So we just need to deal with some of those issues.
If someone's status as an organ donor or not is not clear, what's the law there? Families can intervene, can they?
Yeah, it always comes down to a conversation with your family, even if you are an organ donor. And this is why I just reiterate how important it is to have a conversation with your family. Even if you're registered as an organ donor, in the hospital, the conversation will take place with your family about what their wishes are and what they understand your wishes to be. So it is really important that Australians have a conversation with their family and make sure that they know what your wishes are, because they will be asked to provide consent.
Labor's national conference on the weekend adopted a commitment to expand voluntary assisted dying access to telehealth. The Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, says he supports the right to die with dignity, but personally opposes telehealth access in those situations. Let's have a listen.
If someone has a heart attack or an acute health condition, they need a doctor. They can't do that over telehealth. And I think that the someone ending their life is just as important, and I think that it should be face-to-face.
What do you think about the argument, particularly from rural, regional and remote areas, that this telehealth would be a great assistance in those sort of situations?
So I think the first thing I'll say is I've long been a supporter of voluntary assisted dying, and in Tasmania voted in favour of it so we could legalise that here in this state and see what's happening across the rest of the country. So it is managed by jurisdiction to jurisdiction. But I also acknowledge that through National Conference, there were two things that happened. One was recognising that we could change the Telecommunications Act so we could permit this kind of care to be provided, but also that it would be a conscience vote. I know from having many conversations across the community that for a doctor to be able to have a conversation, maybe with another treating doctor, about the care they're providing to a patient at end-of-life care is really challenging to do legally at the moment because of the constraints around the Telecommunications Act. So it's not just about providing direct care to the patient, it is also talking to their care team about the care that's provided to them. And that is why this amendment was moved at the conference.
Rebecca White, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.